From the Palestine News Network, I'm Kristen S. with This Week in Review. It's the 16th of April. Jerusalem is on high alert Thursday as Israeli settlers threaten to storm Al-Aqsa Mosque. The Palestine Liberation Organization, religious and cultural institutions, and NGOs have issued calls to Palestinians to fill the Muslim holy site in protection. Israeli police and soldiers are filling the streets, wearing riot gear and carrying heavy arms. Horses, jeeps, and police cars are patrolling the streets. Palestinians are being blocked access to the city. Most of those able to arrive are coming from within Israeli boundaries. 48 Palestine. The occupying Israeli administration announced last night it would impose restrictions on the entry of Muslim worshippers into Al-Aqsa Mosque, among the most holy sites in the world for Islam. A declaration was issued by Jewish communities and organizations to storm Al-Aqsa Mosque and perform religious Jewish services inside the Muslim holy site. Israeli forces announced they would prevent Palestinians from entering the mosque if they are male and under 50 years of age. They made no specific mention of women. Since early this morning, dozens of Palestinian buses provided by the Islamic movement leaders have been arriving. Palestinian flags are flying everywhere.
Palestinians are still connected to their Arab identity and to their Palestinian identity as citizens of this city and as the citizens of the capital of Palestine.
In a meeting with Sheikh Ikrimah al-Sabri, head of the Islamic Supreme Council, he told PNN it is no secret that Jewish extremists are working to overtake Al-Aqsa Mosque and taking opportunities to implement their plans of aggression if they feel that this is an appropriate time for them to control the mosque. And during this time in particular, since the extreme right is dominant in the street, as the Israeli government is, these incursions are not new, but the new thing is to step up the numbers of Jewish extremists and the Israeli police guards aiding them. He added, they are trying to impose a new reality in the courtyards of the Al-Aqsa Mosque, not only for visits and tours of provocation, but to try to take an aggressive new step, a practice of religious rites in the plazas of the Al-Aqsa Mosque. This is dangerous, and we do not accept it, and we reject it. And we hold the Israeli government responsible for any harm that comes to the sanctity of the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Palestinians began arriving at the mosque yesterday, hoping to pack it tightly. They are surrounding it now. The Israeli administration and settlers are in the process of overtaking the area around the mosque as well, including the Silwan and El Bustan neighborhoods to the south via home demolitions and forced evictions. The Israelis are trying to create a, quote, city of David, end quote, on the Palestinian land. Citizen Walid told PNN, this attack requires the unity of our hearts to combat, and our feelings towards Jerusalem and the holy Al-Aqsa Mosque must be strong. We need to pause in unity to repel the Israeli attacks that are coming in various forms. As the Israelis are destroying homes, confiscating them for settlers, surrounding the city with the wall, confiscating Jerusalem identification from Palestinians, the city is being converted rapidly into one gigantic settlement. Yet Jerusalem, as the capital of Arab culture, officially began, but the police banned meetings and festivities. They stormed a gathering. The Israeli police broke up Palestinian cultural festival events, etc. Jerusalem, as capital of Arab culture, which has been in the planning for a year, continues. Reem Abdelhanin is the media coordinator. Can you tell me about some of the things that have been happening in the past since you started?
Yes, of course. The opening was on March the 21st, actually, and it was supposed to be in five different places that represent the Palestinian population. In Gaza, in Palestine 48, in Jerusalem, of course, and the official opening was in Beit Lahem, and in one of the refugee camps in Lebanon, Mar Elias refugee camp. So the Israelis banned all the cultural activities in Nazareth and in Jerusalem, and we had to move all the cultural activities and the openings and all the ceremony from these places to Beit Lahem, which was really hard, and it was some of the activities were canceled, in fact.
And for people who are listening who don't know, Nazareth is a Palestinian city, which is inside 48, which means, of course, the Israeli boundaries. Jerusalem is the future capital of the Palestinian state, and under international law, the Israelis are not allowed to create any new facts on the ground, but of course they're doing that anyway, and Bethlehem is in the West Bank. So you had to move all your festivities to the official West Bank.
Yes, exactly. And of course, the activities were purely culture. There were paragraphs and activities for Palestinian singers, for Palestinian music, and other cultural activities. And it was really hard for us to change the plans at the last moment, on the last second, just because the Israelis decided that this should not be.
Reem Abdelhanid, can you talk about why the Israelis are so afraid of Palestinians being in Jerusalem? As we know, they are confiscating homes, taking IDs, making life literally a living hell for Palestinians inside Jerusalem in order to drive them out. This is a well-known fact. It's not even being contested by the Israelis. Can you talk about why the Israelis are doing this? Why are they so afraid of Palestinians being within Jerusalem and what their future plans are for Jerusalem as perhaps the capital of the Israelis?
Of course, Jerusalem is a very complicated, problematic in the Israeli way of thinking, because for Palestinians, Jerusalem has been and is the capital of Palestine, the state of Palestine. And the idea that this project and what it represents as Jerusalem, the capital of Arab culture, it threatens maybe Israeli idea of Jerusalem being Israeli and being and which belongs to them. Although Jerusalem, there are many Jerusalemite cultural figures, Palestinian figures, of course, that we try in this project to reflect and present and also reactivate cultural institutions in Jerusalem and in Palestine. So I think personally that they feel that Palestinians are still connected to their Arab identity and to their Palestinian identity as citizens of this city and as the citizens of the capital of Palestine.
And of course, not that long ago, the Israelis closed down Palestinian institutions that had to do with the Palestinian Authority, with the PLO, with other Palestinian cultural institutions. This is not the first time, of course, that the Israeli administration has directly gone after Palestinian culture, Palestinian politics, Palestinian life within the city of Jerusalem.
Of course, in the opening in Jerusalem, the Israelis arrested some of the people who were working in the opening, and it was a very strange sign of their fear of this project. They were doing nothing. They were just children in the streets, just letting out balloons with the colors of the Palestinian flag. So it was really strange for them to arrest four members just because they were participating in this event. But it's really hard for us to work in Jerusalem right now with the brochures and implement the activities in Jerusalem because of what happens and of fears of what could happen next.
Such as storming the festivities, breaking them up, perhaps being violent as the Israeli forces are known to be. Can you talk about what some of the events are that are in fact going on right now in Jerusalem?
Sure. We have an agenda. We published an agenda for all of our cultural events for the 3 months, April, May, June. It's on our website. And these events, in fact, they will happen in the West Bank, in 1948 Palestine, in Jerusalem. And some of them will happen in the Arab countries as well, because Jerusalem represents the Arab identity as well. So the activities will be on the website. They are on the website in both Arabic and English. For example, there are many plays for the Palestinian theater. One of them is Jerusalem and I. It's a play produced by Ashtar. It's being screened in many places. There will be a dancing festival in the West Bank also, musical events, book exhibitions, books about Jerusalem, old books in Jerusalem. And if you want more details, you can go to the website and see it's www.alquds2009.org.
Thank you so much, Reem Abdelhamid, media coordinator of Jerusalem as Capital of Arab Culture 2009. You're listening to This Week in Review on the Palestine News Network, your alternative news source. Nonviolent demonstrations went on throughout the West Bank this week against the wall and settlements, while the body of a young Jenin man, Iyad al-Asat, was finally returned to his family by Israeli forces. He was buried after midnight. Thousands came to his mourning tent. Fatah leader Marwan al-Barghouti issued a note from his Israeli prison cell stating that the failure of the Palestinian factions to reach an agreement calls for grief and anger. Dr. Rabah Mohanna issued an invitation to the people to protest in the streets against the internal Palestinian division and the infringement on public freedoms. Meanwhile, the U.S. Special Envoy to the Middle East, George Mitchell, is arriving to meet with the Israelis to push the peace process. The new Israeli Netanyahu government is being openly called fascist and racist, and critics expect it will receive no help from public relations attempts, nor from the United States, and certainly not from the Palestinian Authority. The new Israeli government says it refuses a two-state solution, refuses to honor past agreements, and will not move forward in final status negotiations. PNN's Hiba Lema reports on our friend and colleague Rafet Adi and the documentary film he directed, which screened in Doha on the first day of the Al Jazeera Film Festival.
بلمسة ممزوجة بالألم والأمل شاركت فلسطين في افتتاح مهرجان الجزيرة الدولي الخامس
With a mixture of pain and hope, Palestine participated in the opening of the 5th Al Jazeera Documentary Film Festival that began in Doha, Qatar on Monday. Entitled 5 Years of Hope, the event will end today. The festival opened by honoring the Gazan child Ahmed Zaydan, who became known through the Al Jazeera channel while speaking about the conditions of the last Israeli closures and recent major attacks. The young boy Zaydan said, "Let them come and see our conditions, to see our children who are sitting in their classes on the floor without even a cushion and without water or electricity." He asked, "Is this life? This is siege. This is the biggest and the greatest of all sieges from the Israelis."
كما عرض خلال المهرجان الفيلم الفلسطيني أوتار منسية.
Also at this festival was shown the Palestinian film The Forgotten Strings, directed by friend and colleague Rafet Adi. It was produced by Rawa Shepherd TV in Bethlehem's Beit Sahur and Fijar Jadid, New Dawn at Tulkarm TV in the northern West Bank. Hamdi Faraj, the director of Rawat TV, told PNN, "The Forgotten Strings film that we were lucky to have screened on the first day of the Doha Festival is a reflection on a small part of the Palestinian reality under Israeli occupation. The words expressed extend back for more than 40 years. What I mean by part of the Palestinian life is that I mean the ghettos created by the Zionists after the Oslo Accords hindered the Palestinians' ability to move from the north of the West Bank to the center and the south. And sometimes the people cannot move within their own districts."
هكذا حدثنا مدير تلفزيون الرعاة حمدي فراج.
These are the words of the director of Rawa Shepherd TV, Hamdi Faraj, who assured PNN that the film was executed at an estimated budget of $25,000 with funding by Internews.
هذا الفيلم اللي ماخذ في اسمه كلمة أوتار.
This movie has the word strings in its title, meaning music. What we mean by it is that the occupation is sucking the art out of us. They are destroying the artistic forces within us, those that are cultural and musical, and also sports, philosophy, everything. We wanted through this film to show one force that is being wasted or is going unrecognized. One force is in the northern West Bank, unnoticed, wasted. Another force is in the south central West Bank. Through the gathering of the festival, Palestinians brought together an interaction and an agreement to work together to create something artistically valuable.
واستعرض الفيلم قصة فنانين
رفت أدي's film The Forgotten Strings shows the story of two Palestinian artists. One of them lives in the northern West Bank's Tulkarm. The other lives in Bethlehem's Beit Sahur. Movement between the two often impossible. The two artists are musicians. The singer from Tulkarm is Alaa Jalad. He has a beautiful voice. The second artist, Wasim Qasis from Beit Sahur, is a composer and a musician with great talent.
هذول الطاقتين احنا نجحنا من في الفيلم بان نجمعهم اكثر من مره خلال الفيلم واستطاعوا اثنين انه يستطيع نسيم ان يضع لحنا موسيقيا لصوت على من الشمال.
We succeeded with this documentary to gather these two forces more than once throughout the filming. Wasim was able to compose a tone for Alaa's voice in a beautiful song. The song was produced and recorded despite the financial restraints of the musician who relies on simple tools in his artwork.
ويشارك في فعاليات المهرجان 113 فيلما قصيرا ومتوسطا وطويلا
113 short, medium and full length films were screened at the festival produced by Satellite TV, independent filmmakers and cultural and social institutions from all continents. That was PNN's Hiba Lama reporting. With the prisoner exchange on semi-permanent hold due to Israeli intransigence, Bethlehem held a noon demonstration in honor of all of the 11,000 Palestinians in Israeli prisons, some ill, some dying in body and soul, all living in subhuman conditions and in contravention to the Fourth Geneva Convention. Among the organizers is one Bethlehem man who has spent years in Israeli prisons, the latest stint for 10 months. He says the day's rainy demonstration is for the prisoners. For the prisoners' movement, in solidarity with the prisoners' movement.
It's for the prisoners. Malharak al-Asira. Tadamun malharak al-Asira.
Sot al-Asra, Voice of Prisoners, is another Palestinian move to combat the Israeli occupation and gives a chance for political prisoners to hear the voices of their children. It will begin broadcasting Friday, April 17th, the Day of Prisoners. We are on the air with Sot al-Asra, the voice of prisoners, Hamad al-Khateb. We want to talk to you about the project which is crucial for the 11,000 Palestinian political prisoners currently in the Israeli prisons. Can you begin by talking about why this project is important?
Mm-hmm. The project is extremely important for the prisoner and their family because this voice will be the bridge between the families and the prisoner. This voice will reach the voice of the mothers, the words of the father to their brothers and their sons and their daughters in the prison. This project is the bridge between families and their prisoner in the Israeli prison.
And this is because the Israeli authorities will not allow visits between families and the political prisoners.
That's right. This project comes as a result of the Israeli siege because the families are not allowed to visit their sons and daughters in the Israeli prisons. This project come because the Israelis are not allowed to friends, are not allowed to brothers, are not allowed to cousins of the prisons to visit them. In this project, the prisoner in his prison will listen to his friend, to his cousin, to his daughter, to his aunt, which not the Israeli people allowed them to visit him since 10 years or more.
And this is particularly pertinent for the people that are imprisoned,
right,
who are residents of the Gaza Strip, because no one from the Gaza Strip is allowed to visit.
That's right. As you know, the Israeli siege in Gaza do not allow any people to walk freely or to travel freely to their prison. So the importance of this project comes from this point.
And also there are thousands of Palestinians from the West Bank who are also not allowed familial visits.
That's right. You know that there are more than 11,000 prisoners in the Israeli prison. This project comes to help them.
And by not allowing the visits, of course, this contravenes the Fourth Geneva Convention, which the Israeli occupation authorities are
Well, they commonly do that, don't they? How many political prisoners are able to listen to these radio broadcasts?
We hope that all the prisoners will listen to us. We hope in the near future and in the next days, we hope and we will do our best so that all the prisoners can listen to us in high resolution.
And how many families are going to be able to listen?
We ask all families, and we are welcome all families to share, to come to our studios through programs, especially programs. We prepared it for their problem. We are here ready to receive all the families. I expect that the families of more than 11,000 prisoners will share us. Moreover, their friends, their aunts, their fathers, their relatives, all of them will share. We are speaking about at least 300,000 will share us because they want to be in contact with their relative and their beloved in the prison.
And this is a fairly new project, correct?
You know that the 17th April or April 17th is the day of the Palestinian prison.
Yes.
In that time, we will start our broadcasting for all prisoners. And this day, we will celebrate by the Palestinian, by the prisoner Palestinian Day. And on this day, we will start broadcasting and they will can hear us. And really, there are some problems, but we hope that we will finish it.
Inshallah. And whose idea was this project in the first place? And what kind of organizations do you have supporting you?
This idea comes from, as you know, as is the suffering. And this idea organized it some release prisoners who know the suffering and who know how the prisoner feel in his prison.
So the project idea came from former Palestinian political prisoners who were released from the Israeli prisons in order to help the people
right,
that are still
that's
there.
That's right. Some of the released prisoners, some of the Palestinian released prisoners who know how the prison feel in their prison will supervise this project and will do their best to help their colleagues and their friends in the prison.
And so we know that the prisoners will be able to talk via mobile phone to the studio, which is in the Gaza Strip. How often will you be broadcasting?
That's a good question. We will do our best to broadcast 24 hours.
Inshallah, inshallah. Thank you so much for taking your time to speak with us, Mohammed Al-Khateb, and we will talk to you again. Best of luck to you on April 17th, and we'll talk to you on that day as well.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. That was another edition of This Week in Review on the Palestine News Network for the week ending the 16th of April, 2009. With engineers Samir Saad and Shadaz Rishmawi, I'm Kristen S. Thanks for listening. For more news, see English.pnn.ps.